Fatherhood is incredible, and you can already hear my voice, so I'm hoping I make it through this message today. My wife's like, I'll read your scripture for you, so we may utilize some of that. On your way out today, guys, we have chocolate for you, a variety. How many are the chocolate guys? They're chocolate guys. How many are candy guys? Like, I just like, you know, gummies and hard candy. And most of you are raising your hands for both, I see. So they're both. But anyway, so you got a variety to choose from today. And so they'll be back there as you leave. So make sure all you gentlemen get your candy bar today and just enjoy it. If not, give it to your wife and bless her. Right? All right. Today I am going to sit down. I have been battling something that started at the end of last week, and last Sunday I had the missionary share because I just wasn't well, and I got to last night. I stayed in bed all day yesterday, just like, don't talk, rest, and just trying to get myself better, and I'm still struggling, but I'm going to share God's word with you anyway because it was never about the vessel. It was always about his word, and so I will do my best to make it clear, And with God's help, right? All right, everybody okay? You understand me enough? All right, I'll speak up as best I can. Let me just start with the title here, Father of Every Generation, and I'll kind of close with this thought today. But God has to be the Father of every generation. He has to be the Father. See, God has moved in powerful ways and mighty ways throughout our lives and throughout history. And we would tend to think we would never, ever forget those moments that God has moved so powerfully. But from Scripture, we learn quickly that even the greatest miracles, even the most marvelous answers to prayer can be easily forgotten. And to illustrate it, probably one of the best stories is the time of Israel leaving Egypt. They had been in slavery for 400 years to Egypt. And they were delivered, and they entered the wilderness, and then they were heading to a promised land. Let me just tell you a few of the stories. One was the 10 plagues. Remember the 10 plagues and the frogs, the locusts, the Nile River turning to blood? I mean, that's amazing. And then, of course, the very last plague was the firstborn of every family dying if the blood of a lamb was not applied to the doorpost of the house. And of course, that is one of the things to reflect the sacrifice of our Savior for us. But this led them to be delivered from Egypt, from Pharaoh's hand. Then they crossed over through the Red Sea, the parting of the Red Sea, the dry ground, all of that. Remember how marvelous that is? And then they're out in the wilderness. Water comes from a rock. Yeah? How about they were hungry, so manna falls from the sky every day? We want meat, so God has quail fall. Remember that? Incredible. And I thought this was incredible. Their shoes for 40 years never wore out. Wow. Dads, if only we didn't have to buy those shoes over and over again. They ain't wore out yet. Then they crossed over with the leadership of Joshua into the promised land. Remember, they crossed another river. What river was that? The Jordan, and it divided. Again, they crossed over on dry ground. And then the walls of Jericho fell. What a great, marvelous, mighty act of God to give them into those hands. And then they were in battles, and one day Joshua prayed, and the sun stood still. Incredible. But it was only a generation or two later that those stories of all those miracles and Israel's deliverance was forgotten. You can see in the book of Judges that within just a few years, after about 30 years after Joshua dies, Israel is no longer pursuing the Lord. They have stopped pursuing him and stopped going after him. And I want to look at a passage this morning that we could gain some perspective from. So, sweetheart, I am going to have you come. We're going to try this. And we're going to read Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9, and then verses 20 to 23. So, sweetheart, I'm going to have you read this. So here it goes, verse 4.
Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children.
Let me pause there for a moment. Could you read that live with her again? Repeat them
again and again to your children.
One more time.
Repeat them again and again to your children.
Continue.
Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road and when you are going to bed and when you are getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your foreheads as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. In the future, your children will ask you, what is the meaning of these laws, decrees, and regulations that the Lord our God has commanded us to obey? Then you must tell them, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with his strong hand. The Lord did miraculous signs and wonders before our eyes, dealing terrifying blows against Egypt and Pharaoh and all his people. He brought us out of Egypt so that he could give us this land he had sworn to give our ancestors.
I'm going to pick on you, Anissa. Would you just pray over God's word today?
Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your word that you have given us. Lord, I pray that it would just penetrate our hearts, Lord, and we would be reminded again and again to speak your word to the generations, God, what you've called us to do, that we would repeat them, Lord, and we would bind them on our hands and write them on our foreheads, Lord, to have them on our hearts every time, Lord Jesus. Bless this time as we dive into your word. Amen.
Amen. God tells them here in Deuteronomy, look, he says, you just can't presume that these instructions I've given you, all the stories, the amazing miracles are going to make it from one generation to the next generation. It may not happen. He says, you as parents have to be deliberate. You have to tell your children the stories of how I have moved among you. You need to talk to them about the instructions I've given you, the commands, and then tell them why I gave them to you. It's not just a one-time event. It's not a whatever you get around to it thing. It's to be a regular, daily part of your job as a parent. That's what you're supposed to do. Now, these are not idle instructions, I believe, that God has given us. Does God ever give us anything and tell us to do something idly? No. If God says it, he's Father. Father speaks it. You better do it. That's the way I grew up. Man, my dad says something, you do it. And you can ask why later. You know, God knew the great danger that would come if the children didn't hear the stories. God knew how quickly they would go astray if he wasn't a part of the picture of their lives. And Israel did go astray. You ask, well, how did it happen? I want to take you to Judges chapter 2. It outlines basically two thoughts that happened. In Judges chapter 2, verse 10, it reads this way. Go ahead.
After that generation died, another generation grew up who did not acknowledge the Lord or remember the mighty things he had done for Israel.
There's a key question that kind of comes out of this passage. Whose fault was it that the generation didn't know about the works of God? I'm going to go ahead and make it broader. I think it's the parents' fault. I think it was supposed to be both. They're at home when they're going to bed, all of that. The fathers are a key role in that. Notice the last phrase, verse 10. Here it is. It says, they didn't remember the mighty things he had done for Israel. It doesn't say the kids, they knew the story and they rejected it. They didn't even remember the stories. How do you remember things? Repetition, hearing them over and over again. My parents have told me stories about their childhood. My mom grew up in the northern part of Mississippi. She was part of a crop share. Her dad was a crop share holder, and she picked cotton. And she would tell me the stories, and my dad tells me the stories, and all these different things. But if I don't hear them again and again, I forget the details. I just kind of know, yeah, it was tough, it was rough, and that was your life and not mine. And I move on, and I lose sight of the importance, though, it was to them. And unless I hear them again and again, and nothing has changed for any of us, the responsibility for telling the stories falls on the parents. Moms and dads, listen. It is our responsibility as parents to teach the stories of God's word to our children. We need to tell them about Jesus and the cross and the resurrection. And we need to tell them again and again and again. I'm thankful that Christmas and Easter rolls around as often as it does. I used to kind of think, oh, here comes Christmas again. What am I going to tell? Is there a new story? Absolutely not. It's the same story. I want to tell it again and again because you need to hear these stories. We're to teach the instructions that the Bible gives on how to live our lives, the truth of His Word, transforming us, transforming our heart, transforming our living. And He does it through the power of the Holy Spirit. But it's going to require at least two things of us as parents. Here they are, number one and two. We're going to have to spend some time with our kids. If you're not careful, the time will be robbed by all the activities of this world. They're your kids. You take time with them. And secondly, we need to work on our communication with our kids. You say, well, boy, it's tough from generation to generation. It's been tough every generation to generation. I just think we need to work hard at it. I love the birds and the bees story on the little video. I remember I was 15 when my dad sat down with me and he said, boy, do you think you know it? What is a boy going to say? Of course, Dad. And found out how naive I was growing up in a house of three boys. But we need to engage them because the next generation needs a father, especially a heavenly father. They need to know that there is one who loves them unconditionally. And if that's going to take place, it's going to have to be us pouring into our kids, or the same thing is going to happen to this generation that happened to the generation of Israel. And they won't remember the stories of God because they were never told the stories. The first thing we learn in this is that because the stories of God disappeared and they didn't remember them, therefore they begin to not know them. And what happens? Listen to verse 12 in Judges 2. I'll read it. They abandoned the Lord, the God of their ancestor, who had brought them out of Egypt. They went after other gods, worshiping the gods of the people around them, and they angered the Lord. The first problem is that the parents didn't tell their kids the stories of what God has done. But the second problem is that the next generation was swallowed up by a larger culture. In verse 12, it says, they abandoned the Lord and went after other gods. The next generation quickly blended into the people and the culture surrounding them because that's who they were hearing from. We as parents need to be careful that we do not get comfortable. You're going to think I'm back in the soul detox, and I am. But we need to be careful that we don't get too comfortable with excessive cussing or horrific violence or the complete lack of right and wrong that is taking place in the mainstream media today. Because our comfort will come at the price of our children. I was watching yesterday as I rested and was thinking. I watched some of the old Dick Van Dyke shows. I mean, remember Dick Van Dyke? Love it. Trips over the ottoman every time, you know? And as I was watching them, there were commercials in between. Even though I pre-recorded, you know, you catch the beginning and the end before it goes back in. And this was on TV Land. How many remember TV Land? You know, and they came out and they were showing all the old things. But they were advertising, and forgive me if these are going to become your favorite shows, but it was so contrary to the Dick Van Dyke Show. I wish I could remember the names of them. One I know is Hot in Cleveland, Cleveland Hot, something like that. I can't remember how it goes. We talked about it this morning. Hot in Cleveland. It has Betty White. I remember Betty White. I don't know how old she is, but she's really not a person to be sought after in the sense of her morals. In fact, it kind of shocks me because I'm watching one that, you know, it seems to be good, but I'm telling you, this lady has gotten nasty. And I'm like, that generation ought to know better. But you need to understand, I'm not sure she ever heard. You see, that's why every generation needs God to be their father. You know, we kind of blame it on this generation, but I'm telling you what, and I'm not picking on all the old people who are here because you're here today. Thank you for being here. But I'm telling you what, not every old person knows the Lord. And I think sometimes we get that concept that, oh, that generation, they serve God. Not every one of them serve God. And they still need to hear today because I am so glad the gospel could change their eternity if they could hear it today. Every age needs to hear it. I know you've heard it said, the media is targeting your children, and they are. But I want you to be careful that they do not own your children. I want my kids to remember God. I want to tell them about God. I want God to be the father of their generation and their next generation to come. If our cities all of a sudden begin to announce that they're going to put chemicals in the water system now, and what it's going to do, it's going to stunt our children's growth. If that was to happen, how many of you think we might rise up and say, that isn't going to happen? But what has happened also in our culture with the media? Do you know they're feeding our kids ideas and behaviors that are stunting their moral and spiritual development? And so we've got to rise up. I appreciate, listen, all the different filters that are out there and all the different things, but the ultimate filter has to be the parent. Parents, we've got to step up. And fathers, let me just speak to you for today for a moment. Can we rise up and really be men of God? We can. We just need to tell the stories of what God has done and what he is doing, reminding them again and again and again and again and again of the mighty things that God has done. That is our job. I don't want my children to abandon God and then begin to follow false beliefs and things that will deceive them and cause them to drift from the truth. Men, I call us to rise up and to be men that lead the way. You know, we're all children of God. I love the Bible when it talks about that we're heirs, we're joint heirs with Christ, and we're his children. Let me make a point to you this morning that God only has children. He doesn't have grandchildren. That is why it's so important for every generation to have him as their father. Because it's about me knowing him as my father. Each generation must hear and decide for themselves what they're going to believe. But how will they hear if we don't tell them the truth? May God be the father of every generation. This morning, I close with this thought. Somewhere, we can let culture default and become what it's going to become, or the church of the living God can rise up and say, no more. And I know it's hard for us to say that to the culture, but we can say it to our kids. And fathers, mothers, I tell you what, we have been given the most awesome responsibility and the greatest privilege And that's to raise our kids in the ways of the Lord. I want to tell them the story of Christmas over and over. I don't want to forget about the Red Sea. I don't want to forget about God being in the lion's den with Daniel. I want to tell those stories and live them again because I know there's another lion's den. I know there's places out there that the enemy is trying to deceive them and trap them. But the God of the past is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But we need to tell them the stories. Dads, I want to thank you for being great dads. I want to honor you today and bless you and just say thank you. I'm not beating us down today. I'm building us up. I'm just reminding us of our position. And you know what? Don't ever be ashamed of that position. It is your position that God has given you. When God allowed that child to be conceived, he gave you the honor and privilege of being that dad and being that mom. Let's tell the story so that God the Father can really be the father of every generation. Amen? Amen. Let me just end by doing this. I'm going to have all our dads stand for just a moment. Amen. Dads, you're special. Man, look at you guys. I honor you. We stand together because God's given us a privilege. So today, I just want to take a moment and pray over you specifically. Heavenly Father, as these dads, we stand before you as our great dad. And we ask for your help. We cannot do it in our own strength. But God, we ask you to anoint us and use us in our homes. Lord, use us for your glory. And God, may we tell of your story again and again in our homes. And Lord, help it to live in our lives. In Jesus' name, I pray for an anointing upon every dad in this place. Use them and bless them, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's what I'm going to have you do. Dads, remain standing for a moment. I know this might be a little tough in this area, but I know you young people are sitting together, but I'm going to ask you to get with your dads if they're here today and join up with your families real quick. So all families just kind of join together, okay? If dad may not be in the room, mom, stand up with your children. I'm going to ask the children, get around your dad. Wives, join them. Let's do that first. I know some of the kids are out in ministry today. So I'm right here. You're good. Come on, I'll move to you so you won't feel embarrassed to move out there. If you don't have that person with you today, your dad, I'm still going to have you stand. And I want you to kind of group with others because some dads have passed on and they're being remembered today in their own special way. There are others I know that struggle with their dads. I know I had a youth pastor I served with one time, and Father's Day rolled around, and he hated Father's Day. He was a youth pastor. And we asked why, because he didn't grow up in a good home. And I hurt for people like that, I really do. But it doesn't mean I don't do the right thing. The right thing is to honor them. And so today I still want to honor all of those. Husbands and wives, I want you to go ahead and stand. Even though you may not have children of your own, I want you to stand. I want everybody standing because whether or not, everybody has some father in here today. So I need everybody to stand. Go ahead. Because here's what I want you to do is we're standing. Here's what I'm asking now. We're taking the stand. Not just as dads, but as families. We're going to stand together, church. If nothing else, we are the family of God. And we have a Father. And He loves you so much. And He wants to speak to you individually and you as a family. He wants to love you with an everlasting love. But He has to be your Father. He has to father your generation. And then as you tell your children, because we're taking a stand this morning, that first of all, He's going to be our Father. Amen? Church, amen?
Amen.
I can't say it loud enough, but you can. And listen, as we just take a moment with our families, with church family, and maybe just gathering together with a friend today, could we just begin to make a declaration? Number one, Father, you are my Father, and I praise you. Hallowed be thy name. Just worship him for a moment together. And then just ask him for whatever your position is in the family. As I look here, this position is, I want to ask God to help me be the dad I need to be. And you ask him to help you be the mom. And what's your role? To ask him what? You don't know? Not what I want you to say. What does God need to be to you? He needs to be your father. I do my very best, but sweetheart, as I shared in another message with the youth, listen, I love pouring into my kids, but I'll be honest with you. Anytime you pour God out of any vessel here, it gets tainted a little bit. It does. As much as I love God and I want to represent God, it gets tainted by the flesh. I want to be a good man. I want to be a godly man. I want to be a great pastor, but it gets tainted. I want God to be your father. That was the answer. Because if you'll let him pour directly into you, you'll get the best and the perfect. Everything from him. And it will be exactly the Father's representation. So just ask him today, be my Father. And help me be the child, the person, the call, whatever you want in my life. Why? Because I'm going to listen to the Father. Amen? So just take a moment personally and praise him. And then just personally, not necessarily have to pray out loud and everybody pray. Just personally say, God, I want you to be my Father. And I want to be everything you want me to be, okay? And I'm just going to do it kind of out loud and lead as we go, okay? Heavenly Father, we praise you today as a family. You've been so good. Lord, we just thank you. And Lord, I just thank you for each one of my children. Lord, because you gave them to us, and we praise you for them. And God, I ask you to be my Father. You are a great Heavenly Father, and I thank you, and I want to hear your voice. I want to know you. God, I want to be what you want me to be. Help me be a better dad. Help me be the representation of your heart. And Lord, help me to glorify you. This I pray in Jesus' name. So be it. So be it. So be it. You know, it doesn't always take long prayers. It's just say, God, you're first, you're foremost. I want you to have a Jesus-filled week. I want you to live for him. I want you to follow him. But let him be the father of every generation. But that means he's got to be my father of my generation. Amen? So, from the Snamans, he's your father today. Carl, say it again, hey? Amen. How old are you, Carl? 94. He's your father, though, isn't he? He's your father. And he'll father every generation as you keep telling your kids. I'm 48. My kids are beginning to leave my home. Life is changing. And I have to trust that he'll be their father. Those who are younger in this place, how old are you over here, man? How old are you now? 23 and have how many kids? Three. Talk about God bless me, God bless him. You've got a longer run at it than Carl or me have at this point. But you can do it because God's your father. And you just keep doing it every generation. Every generation. Heavenly Father, we praise you today. And we give you thanks. great are you, Lord. We will not abandon you, and we will not turn to other gods. You are our God, and we love you today. Amen.